So we want to take a look at this first from like a problem solution kind of thing. We want to understand what's going on in the client's life first. Like, what are they doing? What's happening? And then from there, we'll make the recommendation as to what type of whole life insurance policy. It might be one, or it might be a couple of different ones.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I am so excited to introduce our guest for the day, Sari Ibrahim. Sari, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Suja. Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, really excited to hear what you have to share with our listeners today. Everyone, Sari is a financial planner based out of Chicago, Illinois, and he has a lot of interesting things to talk about as it relates to infinite banking and how it can help real estate investors, et cetera. Why don't you start us off, Sari, by sharing a bit about your background and how you got into this space and why?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for that. So yeah, this journey started about 6 years ago. I was doing my MBA here in Chicago, and I was doing my MBA with a concentration in project management. I thought I was going to be a project manager. That was my objective, to take the project management professional exam, be a PMP, work in Chicago. But as I was taking those courses, I realized I didn't really click that well with that subject. I didn't see myself really pursuing that career. Nothing against it. I just didn't think it was a match for me. So I wanted to pursue something more that involved like dealing with people, talking to people. So I got into sales and marketing at Allstate Insurance, and I loved it. At first, I was kind of nervous getting into sales and marketing while I was in grad school, but I ended up, you know, table churned. It's one of those things where you never know until you actually do it. So I enjoyed talking to people. I enjoyed having conversations about people's insurance and their assets and investments. And I started to notice that people became more comfortable talking to me about money. And I also became comfortable asking people about their financial situations. And I was still kind of new to the industry, but I wanted to pursue a career like that. I thought, I didn't know what it was called, maybe financial consultant, financial planner, financial advisor. I didn't really know, but I wanted to stay in the industry, and I did, luckily. I then transitioned into Medicare. I was a Medicare consultant, Medicare broker, worked with different companies like Blue Cross, Aetna, Cigna, and then finally founded my own company, Financial Asset Protection. So we're a financial services firm / insurance brokerage. And we represent a lot of real estate investors and real estate brokers, and we help them plan financially. We help them find different sources of liquidity, financing, and we're also like specialists in the infinite banking concept. They're also known as the bank on yourself concept. That's our main focus that we help clients with. And yeah, and definitely, I'm glad to be on your show, and we could definitely dive into that part alongside real estate or whatever else you want to talk about.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, what a great intro. And, you know, I love hearing how people kind of got their start in life and then where it took them, right? And so it's taken you to having your own firm, which is pretty awesome. And one of the focuses in infinite banking. And I think that's a perfectly natural place to start. So why don't you explain what that is? And then we can, you know, talk about how it relates to real estate investors later.
Yeah, absolutely. So infinite banking was invented by Nelson Nash about 20 years ago. And it's pretty much the use of cash value whole life insurance. So Nelson Nash wrote a book called Becoming Your Own Banker. And in the book, he talks about like why the strategy even took place. And it was because at that time, he was paying like 21% interest for loans he had outstanding, which was obviously interest rates were much higher back then. But he talked about kind of this problem of paying interest to other financial institutions and how it was, you know, it was very common. Actually, it's not just him that had that problem. A lot of Americans have that problem. On average, 1/3 of our income goes to just servicing debt that we have pre-tax. So if you make $100,000 a year pre-tax on average in the United States, 1/3 of that is going to go to service mortgages, student loans, credit cards, car notes, and other types of financing. So we essentially pay a lot of money to other financial institutions to service our debt. And a lot of people are concerned about the interest rate, like how they want to be in a small, pay very little interest. But it's not the interest rate that'll get you. It's the volume of interest. How many times you're paying interest over and over and over again. This is how banks are able to make trillions of dollars off of 2% and 3% interest. It's every year you're paying that, every month you're paying that over and over again. So we wanted to kind of sit on the other side of the table and be able to recoup that interest back into our pocket. So that's the objective of infinite banking. That's why it exists. So that way you can become your own banker, you can bank on yourself. And you do that using one financial vehicle. It's cash value whole life insurance. And people are always like, well, why does it have to be cash value whole life insurance? Well, because it gives you the ability to borrow against it. It gives you the ability to get a lot of tax advantages with it and the ability to create a hedge against market uncertainty. So it grows regardless of market conditions. And yeah, in basic terms, the infinite banking is the use of cash value whole life insurance for anything you want. Real estate, your own business, or essentially anything you really want.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, thanks for that great overview. Let's dig into what exactly a whole life insurance cash value policy is.
Yeah. So in general, there's three types of life insurance. There's term, whole life, and universal. Term is like a set period of time. It's just like the title. It's either 10 years, 20 years, or 30 years. One would get it for that period of time. You only pay for life insurance. So if something happens to you in that period of time, your beneficiary would get that amount. That's probably one of the most common forms of life insurance is just term life. And then whole life is the opposite. It's for your whole life. There's a start date, but not necessarily an end date. And there's typically cash value in it, whereas term doesn't have any cash value. So whole life is for your whole life permanent, and there's cash value. And the third is universal. Universal is essentially a combination of term and whole life. There's some things that you can't use universal life for infinite banking because of the guarantees behind it. So it's going to be the second one. Whole life insurance, cash value, whole life insurance is going to be the main use of infinite banking because of the cash component and the life insurance. And the cash grows guaranteed every year. It grows tax-free. Typically, the withdrawals and loans are tax-free, depending on how it's structured. And let's see what else. And then you also, the growth is guaranteed as well as the ability to borrow against the policy. So let's say I have a cash value life insurance policy. There's $100,000 in it. I can go to the insurance company and borrow $50,000 up to 90% of the cash value. But let's just say I borrow $50,000 from them. There's no credit score needed, no credit backgrounds, no collateral. The only collateral that's needed is just the life insurance policy itself. So this is really good when, for example, we're in a situation where banks are not giving financing for real estate investors. You have your life insurance policy that you can go to and leverage and borrow against it and not have to worry about being turned down for a loan or having to put up other collateral except for the policy itself. That's it.
Okay, got it. So say someone's like looking to get life insurance because they don't have it yet, then how do they go about getting a whole cash value whole life? And like, just for people who haven't really gone down this road yet, maybe they're younger, don't have families. What do the costs look like for that?
Yeah, Suja, that's a good question. So really it starts off with an objective first. So we want to take a look at this first from like a problem solution kind of thing. We want to understand what's going on in the client's life first. Like, what are they doing? What's happening? And then from there, we'll make the recommendation as to what type of whole life insurance policy. It might be one or it might be a couple of different ones. Typically, we work with three different insurance companies, and each one has like 10 different products, and each one could be funded in many different ways. So really, it's hard to kind of just guess and like pitch a product. So we want to understand like what's going to be suitable for the client and what's also going to be suitable for their objective. If somebody wants to retire in 5 years versus somebody who wants to retire in 30 years, it's going to be two completely different situations. So we want to gather that information. That's one of the first steps is we have like an intro call, like a 15-minute call. We just get to know each other, get to know if we're going to be a good fit for each other.
Sure.
And then we move into a financial analysis meeting. It takes about usually an hour and a half to do. We go through all their entire financial situation. We want to understand like what's happening right now financially in their life. And then the third is we make a recommendation. We show the numbers. This is how the cash value of the life insurance policy grows. This is how it could help you. This is how it could connect with your real estate business and your real estate goals. And then the fourth step is we would, you know, execute on one or two or maybe three different insurance companies and see, you know, and then submit the application. And then we would have 6-month reviews every 6 months, kind of like a coaching process where we're going through everything to see like what's happening, what's working, what's not working. So that way we can pivot and go in the right direction.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I like that. You know, you try something and then is it working to suit your needs? Mm-hmm. So can you dive more into the infinite banking concept and how it's infinite banking? So someone can take up to 90% as a loan and invest that in anything they want?
Anything you want. Yeah, there's no restrictions. You could take cash out of your policy, borrow against it, invest it in properties you own. So you don't have those, like for example, with self-directed IRAs, there's a lot of restrictions on how you can move money and invest in certain things. With cash value life insurance, there's literally no limits. You could take the money out of the life insurance policy. You're not out of it. Borrow against it. I'm making that distinction. You're borrowing against it. And then you can invest in the stock market. You can invest in syndications. You can invest as a passive investor. You could be a hard money lender, private money lender. You could do anything you want with the money. You can also pay back that money on your own terms. So when the insurance company gives you a loan against your life insurance policy, you can essentially, you're your own banker. You could pay that back monthly, annually, in lump sums, whenever you want. There's no direct payback period. The only thing you want to do is you don't want to wait too long to pay back the loans. If you don't make any premium payments or loan repayments for like a really long time, the policy could lapse in coverage. So that's something we do during the 6-month reviews. We see how many loans you have outstanding and which ones need to be paid back first. But you're ultimately in control of when you're paying these loans back.
For sure. Okay. So how does that translate to this idea of infinite banking?
Yeah. So it's infinite because a couple of things. So number one, as I am, for example, look, I have CashFat life insurance. I borrow against it. I pay it back. There's no limits on how many times I could take out a loan. So I could borrow from the policy, use that money, pay it back, borrow again, in and out as many times as I want, as long as I'm within that 90%. Also, I can have as many policies as I want. Typically, there's some insurable limits, like 25 times your annual income. So, but there, a lot of people have many of these policies. So once they get to a point where they're, you know, they have all these numerous policies and they have all this numerous growth, plus the policy keeps growing. So let's say, for example, I'm funding a policy for, you know, 30 years and then I retire and I live for another, I don't know, 30 years after retirement and then I pass away, that cash value can then go to my beneficiaries tax-free and then they can start in a new policy for them. And then the process keeps going infinitely. So a lot of the top 1% of people in the United States and the wealthiest families have been using cash value whole life insurance for hundreds of years. This is how they're able to pass tax-free retirement onto their beneficiaries and the next generation. This is also how they fund things in their life. So for example, when somebody's going to college in the top 1%, they don't go to Sallie Mae or the Department of Education for a loan. They go to the family bank. They borrow from the family bank. And then it's like an internal financing program that they have. They might have to go through their family members to get approved for the financing. And then they pay that back into the family. And then when they get older, they have access to that cash value again and so on, their children. So it creates a lot of discipline within the family to keep money in the family, keep it rolling tax-free, keep it compounding. So that's kind of some of the ways that it's called infinite banking.
Okay. Interesting. So if you were to take, like, what's an, I mean, I know that it depends on the person and all their, but let's just say you have a whole life policy with a cash value of $100,000. How much approximately, like, would that cost on an annual basis?
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, good question. So it could be hard to say, but like, for example, let me just do some quick math in my head. If somebody's 40 years old, male, 40 years old, and I'm saying male 40 years old because I recently worked on this case, put in $10,000 a year, maybe around year 7 to year 8, they would have $100,000 in cash value. Now, people are always like, well, why does it take that long to break even if I'm putting it in for 7 years? And the reason why is because it's a long-term strategy. It's not something you do for a few years. It's not like I could just take a dollar and then convert it into $5 overnight. Infinite banking it's usually a 20, 30 year strategy. But what happens though is after 7 years or 8 years in the policy, you reach the break-even point. So the cash value reaches the amount of premiums you paid, but then it's about the following years after that. So then in the eighth year, you would put 10,000, the policy grew by 12,000. And then the ninth year, you put 10,000, the policy grew by 14,000. So it keeps compounding greater. Typically, it's going to average about 6% growth throughout the entire lifetime of the policy.
Okay. And then on top of that, you can pull 90% out and be investing that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's another thing too. So if you're funding it, for example, for 30 years, you're putting $10,000 a year into the policy, for example, and you're not locking up that money. You can turn around and borrow against it and it keeps growing, whether you borrow the policy or not. And then some people might wonder, like, how is that possible? How can the policy keep growing even when you're accessing the money? Think of real estate, for example. If I own a property that's $500,000 cash paid up, and then I go to a bank and I borrow $100,000 against the real estate property and I have an outstanding loan of $100,000, the property is still going to appreciate. let's say 3%, 4% every year, it's still going to grow every year. Just because I have an outstanding loan is not going to affect the market value. It's going to affect how much I owe against it, but it's not going to affect the market value of the property. Same is true with life insurance. The growth of it keeps growing, whether you have an outstanding loan against it or not.
Okay. And then so the part of the purpose is so that you can, is the purpose so that you can borrow against it or pass it on to your beneficiaries?
This is where the analysis comes in. So some people have different purposes. Some people want it strictly only for like real estate deals. They want to figure out a way to like cut out banks and cut out private money lenders and just become their own source of financing. So they're becoming their own mortgages for their own properties. That's one way. And then it could also be like, how do I transfer the most money to the next generation tax-free? So really, and it could be a combination of different things. It's really important that like, it's not something like you just buy over the counter and just use. It's something that you want to adapt into your life with a professional and kind of blend it in a way that, you know, for different phases. You might have a phase where you want it just for real estate investing and then another phase where you want it to pass to the next generation tax-free. So it really depends on the client and their objectives.
Okay. So let's focus on the real estate investor one. Let's say you want to cut out banks and private lenders. Can we just do like a comparison as to like how one typical situation might work compared to when you use, you know, whole life?
Okay. So just so I understand the question correctly.
Like how would a real estate investor use this to cut out banks?
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Okay. So let's say, for example, a real estate investor has like $100,000 in cash today. They can take the $100,000, put it into a single premium policy, just a one-time single premium policy. They would have about $94,000 in cash value. And then out of the $94,000, they would be able to borrow 90%. So let's just say $80,000. So they have $80,000 now that they could borrow. They could take this $80,000 now. And let's just say they wanted to buy a single family home for $80,000. They could do that. They could essentially become their own mortgage and finance that. Or they could take that $80,000 and they could put it as a down payment for a property alongside bank finance, traditional bank financing. So that's kind of one way. Now, let's say they just did it where they took the $80,000. They bought, like, for example, a property or invested it as part of a deal of a property. Now they would pay the interest back to themselves, recouping the interest rather than paying it out to other lenders. So that's kind of one.
So you get to pay the interest. If you, so let's say I did that. Let's say I took $100,000, bought a policy, and then it has cash value of $94,000. I can take out $80,000.
Yes.
I can invest that and then I pay myself like the policy interest.
Yeah. So when you borrow that $80,000, you're borrowing that from the insurance company. So the insurance company is going to give you a loan out of their general funds. But the advantages, though, is that while you're doing that, while you're paying the insurance company back the interest, your policy is continuing to earn interest and dividends on itself. So it's continuing to compound and grow on itself. And then eventually what's going to happen is, let's just say 10 years goes by. Now that property you have has appreciated in value. And then your policy has also appreciated in value. This is how it beats cash. Infinite banking is better than just using straight cash from a bank account, because whenever you use cash for something, you lose the opportunity cost you could have earned had you invested that money somewhere else.
Okay.
When you're using infinite banking, you're able to use the cash for other things you want while still having the ability to grow that cash over time.
Okay. So it appreciates at about 6%. And then you're paying how much interest to the insurance company?
You're paying 5% simple interest to the insurance company. And then I recently just did a case with a client. If you did it on APR in terms of annual percentage rate, it comes out to about 2.2% on average. So 5% simple interest could equal 2.2% APR in that sense.
Okay, wait, sorry. How did you get from 5 to 2.2?
So 5% simple interest versus 2.2 annual percentage rate.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I see. Because it was over a couple of years.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. This, an example I did with my client recently, it was $50,000 spread out over 8 years, paying $610 a month for everything.
Yeah.
And that equaled 2.2% interest doing it that way. It's APR interest.
Okay. Got it. So you basically are able to, and then it appreciates based on like the policy is going up based on what factors?
Based off of the performance of the insurance company, not the performance of different markets. So look, for example, one company we have is Lafayette Insurance Company. So Lafayette Insurance Company has every year, they're going to pay you out interest, compound interest, and dividends on your money. The interest is going to be guaranteed, outlined in a contract. And then the dividends are not guaranteed, but we only work with insurance companies. Like Lafayette, for example, has been paying dividends for over 100 years. So what Lafayette Insurance Company is doing is they're investing, they're taking these premium dollars, they're investing it into the bond market, they're investing it into other private loans, they're doing it, you know, real estate syndication and different things like that, typically conservative investments. And then from their profits that they're generating, they give those back to the policy owners, since it's a mutual insurance company. Mm-hmm. And that's how you're able to get those dividends every year and grow the cash value in your life insurance policy, as well as death benefit in your policy.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that if you can get your money working, it sounds like to me that you're able to get your money to work for you twice. Is that accurate, or what else am I missing there?
You're spot on. Exactly. You're able to do more than one thing with your money instead of having to decide, do I leave cash sitting in the bank or do I have it working? Both of those have pros and cons. You know, it gives you the ability to do both, to keep your money working while having access to it and then invest it in different places. So, you know, a lot of real estate investors who have like 20 life insurance policies also own like hundreds of properties, and they have their money working in different areas. It becomes the point where these policies can support each other. So you could take out a policy loan from one policy to pay the premiums on another policy, take that cash value out of that policy, pay whatever you want after that. So you have more options to do with your money.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it sounds definitely like there's a lot of possibilities here to get the velocity of money, you know, to turn money quicker and to get it working for you more than once. And, you know, as investors, we're always looking for ways to make the most of whatever capital that we have.
Yep.
So I definitely really appreciate it. And I think next time we should do a scenario where we actually do like a screen share and sort of do a webinar where we're actually really breaking this concept down for people. But since we're audio right now, I have one follow-up question, which is, so this works, like, let's say you do not have, you know, a reason necessarily to have a life insurance policy on yourself right now. Like maybe you don't have children. It sounds like this still makes sense, like if you're just trying to maximize your investment pursuits. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's beyond just life insurance. It's more of, we're going to look at every single financial vehicle out there, and then we're going to see which one can do all of these things. And it's going to be cash value life insurance. So that's, we're using it more for the cash value purposes. And yeah, absolutely. Like, I'm married and we don't have any children yet, but we already have 3 life insurance policies between my wife and I. So yeah, definitely. I wrote, even if you're not married or have kids, I would definitely recommend to look into cash value whole life insurance, because it's not just about the life insurance part, but rather the cash use and the ability to kind of turn that cash, like you said, over and over again to do numerous things in your life.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for breaking that down for us. Lots to think about there and a lot of opportunity for sure. What are the tax advantages of investing with infinite banking?
Yeah, good question. So number one, typically the cash growth is going to be tax-free. So that means if you have a life insurance policy with $100,000 and then next year there's $106,000, for example, you don't pay taxes on that growth in the policy. And then when you take out loans and withdrawals, those are also tax-free. And then the life insurance itself, the death benefit, is typically income tax-free. So for example, a lot of people do is they'll fund whole life insurance policies as much as they can throughout their years. And then let's say, for example, they reach a point where they have like $1 million in cash value in life insurance by the time they retire, they could use the policies as a source of retirement income. So they could say, all right, let's just do a 5%, turn it on 5% and give me income for the next 30 years. And they can get like $50,000 a year or more, depending on how much cash value they have and how much they need, tax-free entirely out. So they're essentially funding a tax-free retirement from dollars that they use from when they were younger, working and investing their money and reinvesting it back into the life insurance policy. So you can convert all your life insurance policies into tax-free retirement, even with all the gains and the growth.
Yeah, for sure. That's definitely super, super attractive. Okay, awesome. Well, thanks so much for sharing a lot of information in a short period of time, Sari. Really appreciate it. Will you please share with the listeners how they can learn more about you and anything else you want to share?
Yes, Suja, thank you for having me on. And listeners can go to finassetprotection.com. It's F-I-N, assetprotection.com. And then you could check out our podcast. It's in that website. You could connect with me on LinkedIn. You could check out our YouTube channel. You could send me an email. You can get on my Calendly account and just schedule a free call with me. All those options are available in finassetprotection.com.
Awesome. All right, Sari. Well, thank you so much. I hope you all take some time to check out Sari and his work with Whole Life and Infinite Banking. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com. for tons of free educational content to further your success.